We regret that the first sentence or two of Glenn's sermon was not recorded. His sermon began, "Karl Rahner writes, the Christian of the future will be a mystic or not at all. A mystic can be defined as one who finds God in all things and lives in gratitude."
Mysticism has a long history, and it's not limited to Christianity. Indeed, mysticism regularly stands apart from the dogmas and tenets of religious organizations. To find God in all things and to live thankfully does not require one to be a signed-up member of anything, obey a bishop, canon, or creed, attend church, or believe in impossibilities. The Christian of the future will be a mystic is therefore quite a statement, coming from the prominent Roman Catholic theologian, Karl Rahner. There's a story about a mystic who was asked about the path to God. He was reticent to answer. How could he put into words what he had experienced in the depths of his heart? Is it possible to express the inexpressible? He finally gave them a formula, so inaccurate, so inadequate, in the hope that some of them might be tempted to experience for themselves what he had experienced. Well, they seized upon the formula. They made a sacred text out of it. They constructed a religion around it. They imposed it upon everybody as holy beliefs. Some even gave their lives for it. And the mystic was sad. It might have been better if he'd never spoken. Well, such are the perils of preaching. Spirituality is a word that's popularity has risen as the population of churches has fallen. Spirituality describes the search for meaning without necessarily using the language of religion. It can be used, for example, as a way to talk about an individual's act of commitment beyond their self-interest. It can be used, too, as a way to talk about self-discovery and finding satisfaction beyond material comforts and reliable friendships. Some church leaders decry the popularity of the word spirituality and the desire for people to find spiritual meaning outside the dogma and dictates of religion. However, others, like me, see the word as a helpful bridge between the best that religious faiths have to offer and the reality of secularized living. It is a hopeful word, for it assumes that the quest for faith and theological understanding is happening beyond the bounds and control of organized religions. I like to think of spirituality as footpaths through the forest. There are a variety of footpaths one can take on the search for meaning. Some paths end in disaster. Some are unsafe. Some have unhealthy consequences. Others, though, offer a range of beauty, adventure, and satisfaction. Not everyone has to walk the same path, nor is the end point the same for all. This morning I want to name just four of those paths. The first I'll mention just in passing, for it was the main course of Clay's sermon last week, namely hospitality. Blessed are those who know the soul value of food. Food sets the table of hospitality, around which conversations of life, meaning, and well-being can occur. Secondly, and connected with hospitality, is kindness. There was an article a couple of weeks ago in the British newspaper, The Telegraph, about happiness. Using a formula of O plus N times S plus CPM over T plus HE, they computed the happiest day of the year. Now, O was for outdoor activity, the N, connection with nature, The S, socialization with friends and family. The CPM, yes, you were puzzled about that, was positive childhood memories. The T being mean temperature, rather hard in England. And the HE was holiday expected. I was staying with an academic who pointed out the inadequacy of the mathematics involved. I pointed out its inadequacy in terms of soul. For it didn't involve feeling for, giving to, or helping strangers. There was no kindness to others in there. Happiness that doesn't have an other-centered component in the formula is like living on a diet of donuts. They look good, taste good, but in the long term aren't satisfying and wreak havoc with our spiritual health. Regardless of the needs of strangers, we need them. We need to exercise our compassion and generosity. We need to think of others besides ourselves and our friends. We need to show a little non-self-centered kindness. Blessed are those who are kind to themselves and others, for they have learnt the path to happiness. The third pathway is nature. Walking in the bush, ambling along forest paths, smelling the undergrowth, dripped on by the rich foliage. Or walking along the seashore, shoes off, with the tide tickling your toes. These sensuous moments and others like them not only make us feel good, but are good for our soul. How that happens is difficult to explain. I visited an artist on my travels who lives in the centre of one of the biggest cities in the world, London. And it is something of a prison for her. She tries, of course, to make it work, strolling in parks, cycling everywhere. She even kept a canoe, but the commercial sightseeing boats on the Thames have made that too dangerous. The people, colour and variety of opportunity in London is wonderful. But the concrete and the brick walls still entrap her soul. Holidays in the country are holy days. She longs for freedom. Blessed is the one who longs for nature and expresses that gratitude by caring for the environment, making time to touch it and letting it touch them. And lastly, as our gospel reading alluded to today, the pathway of children. It was the passport control area at Atatürk International Airport, Turkey, and I was in a queue, a very long queue, at the end of which was a solitary guard who directed people into six shorter queues that each led to an officer behind a desk. The guard seemed resigned to his duty. It was one of those mind-numbing, boring jobs that someone had to do. No one talked to him or, of course, thanked him. Impatience was in the air. This was another bureaucratic necessity to be endured before one could leave the country. All wished it could just speed up and be over. Suddenly, a child cried. His father stooped, picked the child up, and put him on his shoulder, where he continued to whimper. The guard approached and started making amusing faces for the benefit of the child. The guard was playfully engaging the child and inviting the child to smile. Slowly, the child caught on. Those waiting in line all turned to watch. Smiles breached many faces. An air of happiness caught on, an anecdote to the impatience. This guard was offering much more than a pacifier. His love of children shone through and offered a glimpse of soul amongst the routine of control. Why do I see an interest in children linked to spiritual health? It's not a concern for the vulnerable. That pathway is kindness. It's not a desire to have children of one's own either. Not everyone needs, is able, or should feel socially compelled to have children. As a friend said recently, one can enjoy flying in an aircraft without having to own one. I think this spiritual pathway has to do with being interested in someone others might see as insignificant, or of less value, or whose thoughts aren't worth thinking about. It's about finding in the encounter with a child some truths not only about children and their world, but about oneself. It's an indicator of humility and a willingness to learn about the God who is still a child. Blessed is the one who can relate to children and their world, for they manifest the playfulness of God. These are just four paths through the spiritual forest, intersecting with each other and with other paths. There are many paths that one can travel, and one may even travel without a path. I pray that this service and the ministries here of St. Matthew's of all of us may be an encouragement to you on your journey. Amen.